When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jay Horowitz here with my friend of over 25 years, Mike Piazza, special edition of Amazing Conversations. Let me test your memory. May 23rd, 1997, okay? We traded the day before, so I send this limo to LaGuardia Airport to pick
you
up.
The 98, you mean?
98.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, okay, I was like 97.
I sent this gigantic limo to pick you up at LaGuardia Airport. You were late. We wanted to do a press thing before we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I almost got fired because of that. They ran on the news that night. You getting into this limo had to be like 4 foot before, 4 foot before it was long. And
yeah.
They said, Jay, what are you doing? I said, we got this superstar guy. I want to roll out the red carpet. We had a press conference in the small Jets locker room. Remember that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I also remember the funny thing was that I believe I was on the way to Fort Lauderdale because I was with the Marlins, obviously.
Right.
And so I'm on the way to the airport, and somehow I just out of intuition is like, is this ticket out of Palm Beach or Fort Lauderdale? And then it ended up being West Palm Beach. So
you got there right before the game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was pretty crazy. Honestly, it maybe was a blessing in disguise because
you got a double.
I had no time to think.
Light up Prince of Shire.
I'd never caught Al before, yeah. And Al, you may or may not remember that he was very difficult to catch. I mean,
yeah,
he had a hard cutter.
Right.
For a catcher, it was, for me, it took some getting used to. But the good thing is I didn't really think about it. And the pitcher, I think it was Jeff Judah, threw that day. He was tough. I mean, so it wasn't the – I remember I think I grounded out weekly my first at-bat, and I was thinking this isn't a great day.
We didn't have a big conference room, so this is more Jeff's locker room. 9 million people crammed into the room.
Yeah, it was pretty intense, and it was pretty cool. I mean and again, you know, as I said before, as we talk about the Mets, the good thing is that they had started putting the pieces in place for a good team in spring training. They traded for Al and for Cookie. And, you know, we had a good, I mean, they were a good little team. I mean, even Bobby Valentine said, you know, Fonzie and Olerud. And I had played them the year before and then 96. And I'm thinking these guys are pretty good.
Yeah.
So the good thing is that I was able to come into a team that was pretty Yeah, had some good ball players and a good group of guys as well.
With a lot of pressure on your shoulders.
There was, but again, I think, and maybe at the beginning I put too much pressure on myself. You know, it's just natural. You come to New York, and especially in a city like this, and the expectations are high, and I just was pressing a little bit. I mean, I was getting some hits. I wasn't really driving in big runs, so I remember I would get a couple hits and then hit a double play in the seventh or eighth inning and was starting to get booed a little bit. But you know, as I said before, it was kind of a rite of passage for me, and it kind of made me tougher and realize that you have to be mentally tough to play in New York City.
Mike, this is going to air like a week before 9/11, so we were at a firehouse today. You know, one thing that really struck me, it really hit home for me, you said like 9/11 is our identity, you know. The home run had gotten on the plate. You always, not trying to pop poop, but it was more than a home run, but the whole 9/11 thing, we had a great club. I mean, when I die and on my tombstone, Ring was great, but what we did as a club in 2001 was something I'm really proud to be a part of. You and Al and Franco, Zio, Ventura, Fonzie, the whole group.
Yeah,
I never heard that before. It really is our identity. I mean, it's an organization.
No, and that's true. And I think it really was, you know, you mentioned all those guys. As much as it was coming into the modern era, we were still pretty old-fashioned, traditional guys.
You guys got it, though.
Well, that's what I was saying. We always felt like we were still part of the community. And even though the game was shifting a little bit into the modern era, where they're, you know, big money and big expectations and TV and all those things, we still felt a special connection to the community. And so when, obviously, 9/11 happened, our intuition to just want to roll up our sleeves and do whatever we can.
To a man, 1 through 25, everybody.
Yeah, right. No, and it was really, like I said, it just came from a place from the heart. It wasn't like we felt obligated, and we were not told to do it. You know, as you know, Fred and Mr. Doubleday were like, look, you know, if you guys, if you, you're not obligated to do anything. You know, we're going to have something, we're going to do what we can to help and start to you know, roll up our sleeves. And some guys did that. And some guys just wanted to visit, you know, and pick the guys
went
up.
Went to Ground Zero, went to the police fire stations, and parking lot was turned into a recovery area.
Yeah, and some guys did that. And so, you know, Al and Johnny and myself and guys, we went down there and we went to, met with some guys that actually survived and were pretty banged up physically and emotionally, and met with some of the families, obviously, and there was still a lot of trepidation that week. And it was tough. It was tough emotionally, but we just did what we could.
You know what I remember about that time is that after they hit the home run, Sports Illustrated did this gigantic story on a firehouse, and you wouldn't want to be photographed with the firemen. You said, they are the heroes, not me. It was a gigantic story. I remember they put the young kid on the cover or something, you know. And, I mean, what made you even back then want to kind of, it was great, we won, home run was great, but I'm not the hero.
Yeah, I think just reality situation. I mean, we look at baseball, and it is a important part of our society, of our community, of our city. But again, it's just still a game. I mean, it's still something that we do as a job, and it's not life or death. And so I just felt like it wasn't appropriate for me to be with the guys who had, you know, risked their lives, and especially from the houses that lost guys. And just, I mean, I appreciate the fact that people still identify and recall the home run and that week generally. And also, on a side note, I think it's really the last few years, some of the comments that the Braves have made, you know, like Larry Chipper and guys that have really
won.
Yeah, well, I mean, that shows how emotionally they were invested as well, which probably doesn't get a lot of credit. But I think it just shows. I mean, you know, Chipper Jones was an amazing player, superstar. He was always a thorn in our side.
Right. Yeah.
But you can see how well-rounded he is as a human being. You know, the compassion, him and Brian Jordan, other guys that were on that team as well. So, but yeah, I felt like I just wasn't comfortable at the time sort of being in that.
Even today, you really kind of, I remember up to the home run, the press time, you did it because we talked about it, but it wasn't your first priority to talk to the press that night after the home run.
Yeah, I mean, well, again, truthfully, we were still all emotionally wrecks, I mean, and scarred. And I didn't really, you know, I think it's nice, and I think it's really special that it's taken on that longevity, the significance of that night. And there were a lot of other significant parts of that night. It was the first sporting event.
Right.
There was a lot of confusion. Well, just we didn't know if it was the right time, if it was too early. And eventually we knew we had to get on at least with life. And it was something that we were all very uncomfortable with. So that's another thing that we were sort of not really, we just had a lot of anxiety.
Let's go back to the firehouse today. And one thing you said to me struck me. You said that we should use 9/11 kind of as a learning tool for future generations. You met with a family, three young kids whose father was killed. I mean, could you expand a little bit? What do you mean? Learn as a learning tool?
Yeah. Well, I think it's not so much that. It's so much that we should educate the next generation. I mean, because all of my children were born. You know, my first child was born in 2007. So, there's a whole generation now coming up that didn't experience it, and especially in the city. And I think we are obligated to educate them on it. Yeah. And obviously there's still parents and grandchildren that are affected. But as these generations get older, I think it's important that we continue to educate them and for obvious reasons, for the bravery, the example, the bravery and the courage and the commitment, but also, you know, that how it happened and that it doesn't happen again. And that's something for me that I think is important as we sort of transition into as the years go on.
Were you struck by, you know, you spent most of your time in Italy now, but were you struck, to the firehouse, how much the charisma is still there, how much it means to come down here and visit the guys after, you know, what, 22 years?
I mean, it's an honor. Like I said, I've always enjoyed coming back to the city. And, you know, one thing for me that was very special is when I got traded here was the fact that, and I've mentioned this before, is that with the Mets, generally they don't embrace players that are not sort of coming up through the organization. Right. That's just been a sort of a trait, I guess. It's like a family, you know, they don't really take in or at least embrace guys that didn't develop or at least come up as a Met. And so for me to be embraced in that way and be identified as a Met is something that I consider, you know, one of my most personal, you know, best accomplishments. But going back to that time and going back to when I got here, I think I made a commitment that I knew I had to roll up my sleeves and just be among our fans, you know, be among the community. And so they get that, and they also, you know, they could smell people that aren't genuine about 100%. It. So that for me is, as I said, something I'm most accomplished. Yep.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Mike, some Memphis might know what you're doing now. Heavily involved in Italian baseball. Managed a WBC team last year.
Yeah.
Got two wins. Qualified over Cuban and Netherlands.
Yeah, Cuban,
qualified for the next WBC.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy something you get your teeth into?
I do. I mean, it's definitely nerve-wracking. I mean, it's not easy managing a club, but I will say that going back to what I mentioned about team, I mean, I had an incredible coaching staff. I enjoy it. I mean, being in Italy now pretty much full-time, my kids speak fluent Italian, and it was something that I'm so happy to have given them that experience. And, you know, when I played for Italy, something I did it as a tribute to my dad because he was just so proud and so grateful for his Italian ancestry that I figured it was a great opportunity. And when I first played, it was sort of the twilight of my career as well. It wasn't like maybe I could have played, you know, for the U.S. team. So I thought it was a great thing, but it became a relationship, and I've been working with him since 2006. I still enjoy it, you know, again, as long as I don't have to do, I mean, I have a good staff, and if I get people that kind of help me out, you know, it works pretty well.
Yeah, how did you recruit? I mean,
I have an amazing team coordinator. His name is Gianmarco Farone. He's Italian-Canadian. He grew up in Canada, but he speaks fluent Italian. He's from Abruzzi, and he's amazing. He worked for Major League Baseball a few years, but I mean, he does the research. And started finding out that these guys
mainly... Did you have to make calls?
Well, of course. And even like a guy like Matt Harvey, we found out that he's eligible for his Italian passport through his mother's side. And I think it's important. And I've said many times before, you know, it's important and it's great for baseball when more teams in the Classic are competitive. Because everyone knows, I mean, the U.S. and Japan and the Latin American teams are going to be competitive. But for me, if we just go out and are not able to be competitive, and that also includes native Italian guys. So we have about 10 guys now that are in college and professional baseball. So the ultimate goal is to grow the game back in Italy and get more guys that are from Italy. But of course, it's always good to have a little help that guys that we can you know do the research.
I was the PR guy for Team Israel, right? So we played against Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Dominican Republic. We beat Nicaragua, but we were in a bad bracket, you know.
Well, it's tough. I mean, and then we have to play Israel and Europe in the championships, and you know, honestly, it's not easy for us. I'm trying to figure out when did Israel become European, but.
Well,
it is what it is. I mean, look, I like international baseball. I think it's fun. I think the guys enjoy it.
Will you do the Olympics too, Mike?
That's a good question. I don't know. You know, Jay, you know my life. I mean, the way I live life now is just go year to year. You know, I don't know. My ultimate goal is to hand it off to the next generation, people who are really interested and want the game to grow. You know, we've talked to MLB about growing the game European-wise, you know, maybe eventually trying to get a game, you know, a major league game. And that's
they go to the other countries, why not?
Yeah, I mean, they do the London series, which is pretty cool. But I mean, I think continental Europe would be cool as well. And so it's going to take, some you know, investment. I mean, it's not cheap, but I think the incentive is there, and we'll see. Maybe before my lifetime ends, we'll have a major league game in Italy.
I got to ask you a question. I've never been to Italy. How is the pizza in Italy?
The pizza is great. It's where they invented pizza. So they actually invented pizza in the Naples area, and it was named after the queen at the time, which is Margherita. So when you have a Margherita pizza, that's the original pizza.
It was not pizza, it's better pizza.
Well, I would hope so. Well, I mean, look, there's all different styles of pizza. And, you know, it's like there's all different styles of hamburgers and steaks and all that stuff. So, but the original Italian pizza, there's two different styles, from Napoli, which is the Naples style, and then Sottile, which is more the Roman style.
Mike, you still in the wine? The last time we spoke,
I am, and I try to wash myself with the wine because it's a dangerous hobby, and
one for me, one for you.
That's exactly right. I mean, you got to be careful, but no, I do, and it's obviously been in Europe. You know, wine is a culture there. And
which city do you live in, basically?
I do. I live in Parma now.
Yeah.
And so it's a nice city. It's actually a very famous city in the John Grisham novel called Playing for Pizza, which is about an American football player who went over there and played football.
You can look at myself. I love pizza, Mike.
Yeah, well, I could tell.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I know you keep up with the Mets. Just a couple of Mets questions. Francisco Alvarez, your thoughts?
Well, look, I mean, I think he's a great young player. I think... ultimately, it's going to be about his defense. You know, I think he's going to swing the bat. He's young. You know, it takes time. I think he's shown a lot of ability. I think recently it was good that he's going through some trials and tribulations. All great players have to struggle a little bit. So I watched the telecast recently, and I saw that he was having a tough time. And I thought to myself, good, because it's a good opportunity for him to work himself out of those times when you're not playing well. But again, I think generally the team, you know, has made a commitment to try to get a little younger, and I think youth is important, and hopefully they can get the right mix.
You were, you know, with some criticism about the Mets' moves, Scherzer, Verlander traded. You had a take. You thought it was a good way to make a break and start forward?
Yeah, I mean, look, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's tough to win, and it's very difficult to win in New York. And I think sometimes you got to make hard decisions. You know, I know the fans aren't always going to see eye to eye, but I think last year they had a good year. You know, obviously the playoffs didn't work out, and now you have these guys that are really proven pitchers, but again, they're not, and they'll be the first to tell you, they're not the youngest guys.
Right.
And so I think you have to kind of say, okay, at what point do we need to make a move here? And you look at this season, you know, the June was probably the thing that really, you know, damaged the season. But you still got to move forward and, like I said, make the hard decisions. So I think it's good, and youth is important. So they got some good prospects, and we'll see. You know, it's not easy to put a winning team together.
Mike, how old are your kids again?
So my oldest now is 16, second oldest 14, and 10. My son is 10.
So none of them, did they go back to 9/11? Did they have an idea of what transpired?
My oldest one now is, because of obviously YouTube and things like that, you know, you can watch these documentaries, and she's really taken an interest. And I explained to her, you know, what happened, and they're very intuitive, you know, and I think it's something that I had to be very careful in the way I explained it, but I think they still, it's, you'd be, actually, I think New Yorkers would be somewhat impressed with the general knowledge of even Italians, because living in Italy, when they talk about 9/11, they have a certain reverence for that event, and it affected them just as much as us, but in a different way, obviously, because they weren't as directly connected. But I've been impressed with the sentiment, and the feelings are still very strong, and the education. I mean, they know what happened, and so it's something for them that they hold in a very...
That's what you talk about, the teaching.
Again, you don't realize what we as New Yorkers, obviously it hurt us the most in the heart because we were closest to it, but I think people would be interested to see how much reverence it does have all over the world, and Europe in particular, because that's where I've been spending most of my time.
Yeah, one of my favorite guys to meet was your dad, Vince. Mm-hmm. Oh, he was to come to Philadelphia. which is gigantic veal palm and hero sandwiches.
The big cheesesteaks. Yeah, yeah, the cheesesteaks.
Every time we saw, we got a big round of applause. We knew we'd be good that night.
Yeah. No, he loved the game, and he was obviously a big part of my success, just on his work ethic and his love for the game. And so.
And you're still involved with the car business too, are you?
Yeah, we're in the car business in Philly. So if you need a car, Piazza Auto Group. I mean, we have a lot of stores now. We've grown a lot in the 10.
He used to get me cars for the players. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I used to nag him. He used to call me.
No. But, you know, I'm in partners with my brothers. My dad started the company over 50 years ago. Yeah. So it's like crazy. I mean, the way the time flies. But my brothers are involved in that. They do an amazing job. Yeah. And like I said, we've been in business in Philly area for, you know, over 50 years. So it's really a family business. And it's brothers do a great job.
Mike, the last thing, the firehouse today just brought up like a lot of great memories for me. It's just a feel-good thing to be part of that. You know what I mean? We've won a lot of games, championships, playoffs, World Series. I mean, does it mean the same thing when you walk in there again? I mean, today was a special visit for me.
Yeah. Well, those emotions are always great, especially the positive emotions. And when you see how much you affect people in a positive way, it's really rewarding. And yeah, I mean, life goes on, life gets in the way. You know, as I've said before, I started my family later than most guys. So I'm still, I have a 10-year-old son, and he runs me around, man. You know, I start to think, man, I should have had my kids, when I was in my 20s, I probably would have been a little less tired at the end of the day, but it's all good, man. And they love New York, my daughters. So I'm looking forward to having a relationship with this team, with this community in the next, in the future, because it's something that is part of my fabric. It's part of my history, and I want my kids to know about it as
Last question, how did meatballs in Italy?
Meatballs in Italy are not called meatballs.
They're not called meatballs?
Okay, no.
I love meatballs, too.
They're called polpette.
Polpette?
And they're not as big, they're just not as big as the American ones. So you can get, pasta, spaghetti, and polpette. And it would be in the same realm as the same size as Swedish meatballs.
Okay, well, that's too small for
me. But but you could eat a lot of them.
I probably would.
Yeah,
I'd probably get them all over.
So when you go to Italy, don't say, spaghetti meatballs, say pasta e polpette.
I'll remember.
All right?
Thank you for your time, my friend.
All right, Jay.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, man.
As always.